This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Every summer, I have the distinct pleasure of spending an entire month with people from all over the world here in Dallas, teaching the Arabic language, Quranic Arabic, the language of the Quran, and discussing and exploring the timeless lessons and wisdoms of the Book of Allah. We call this experience Quran Intensive. Please check out bayinasummer.com. That's bayinahsummer.com to get more information and sign up. I look forward to seeing you here, inshallah, at the Quran Intensive. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال رب ارجعون لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون فإذا نفخ في الصور فلا أنساب بينهم يومئذ ولا يتساءلون الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. In the previous session, we started the concluding passage of Surah Al-Mu'minun, Surah number 23. And in that particular passage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only, of course, consoles and comforts the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but also provides a very final and conclusive answer about the back and forth and the difficulty that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been facing, in the process of preaching to the people and their refusal and rejection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the du'as, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, along with those du'as, delivered the very powerful message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of punishing them and holding them accountable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي يَحْسَنُ سَيَّا نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَصِفُونَ, that we know what they say. We know what they say and how egregious and how heinous it is. But in spite of that, you can't stoop down to their level, but you continue to respond with that which is even better. And then the dua again was there, that asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from the shayateen and the poking and prodding of shaitan, that sometimes shaitan just might try to incite you and try to make you respond and react. And then asking Allah to protect from even the shayateen being present. And we also talked about the other layer of this, that referring it to as shayateen al-ins, that not being goaded by these people into responding. Because a lot of times when you have this type of negative interaction with people, and what ends up happening is that a lot of times people are trying to incite a reaction or a response. That's kind of their own need, their own desire for evil and for that type of interaction. And when you don't give them that response and that reaction, it only further makes them want it and desire it even more, and they try harder and harder. And so they'll get more and more egregious, more and more heinous in what they say to you, trying to elicit some type of a reaction or response, but just absolutely in no way, shape or form should you give into what they're asking of you. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in ayah number 99, He says, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. A translation says, when death comes to one of them, he cries, my Lord, let me return. So, if we take a look at the ayah to kind of analyze the ayah a bit, the ayah begins with حَتَّى. Now, normally we translate حَتَّى as until. And when I read the translation of one of the translators, it says when. So there are two opinions here, and we've kind of alluded to this earlier. Hatta is sometimes connected to something that was said previously. And so some mufassirun have said, like Zamakhshari and others have said, that the hatta is related to, is connected to, when Allah said, نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَصِفُونَ, that they will continue to say all these terrible and atrocious things until death comes to one of them. So meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now educating the believer, He's informing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and educating us that some people, the shayateen al-ins, that people that are just so set on being evil and being a source of evil within their own lives and in the lives of others in the element that they live in, that you should keep in mind going forward that these people will not stop saying what they say, doing what they do, until and unless death comes to one of them. That don't expect them to stop. And just as a little example of this, Abu Jahl, who we've spoken about earlier as an example of what disbelief is like. Abu Jahl, of course, died in the Battle of Badr. And what's, again, very fascinating on one side, but also very unfortunate, is that Abu Jahl, when he was finally struck down and the Prophet ﷺ, when the battle concluded, he said, you know, we need to go and take an account of where some specific people are. And he found out that Abu Jahl had been badly injured, and last he was seen, he was lying in the battlefield. The Prophet ﷺ sent Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, specifically because he knew Abdullah bin Mas'ud to be somebody with a lot of patience, with a lot of control and restraint and character, that he would be able to handle this type of a situation. He sends Abdullah bin Mas'ud, go and see if you can find Abu Jahl. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud does end up finding Abu Jahl. He's lying there in the battlefield, very severely injured, seems to be fatally wounded or injured. And he approaches him, and Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that, you know, the messenger told me to come and check on you and to finish you off if the need is there. And Abu Jahl, lying there in the battlefield, knowing that he's lost and how things have exactly played out, at that moment, Abu Jahl says to Abdullah bin Mas'ud that, number one, I want you to tell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that I hate him even more than I've hated him before. Don't think that this changes anything. And number two, when Abdullah bin Mas'ud basically gets in a position to finish him off, Abu Jahl says to Abdullah bin Mas'ud that this must be a very, very special day for you. This must be a really special experience for you. And he says that because you are the son of a goat herder. He calls him Ruwayyir al-Ghanam. You are a small, tiny little shepherd who is about to take the life of a leader. Must be very special for you. I'm happy for you. Congratulations. Right? The arrogance, the conceit that is oozing out of this man. No regret, no remorse. And so this is one way to understand this ayah, that it connects back to نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَصِفُونَ, that what they say, what they do, and guess what? They're going to continue to say and do these types of things until death comes. So don't expect them to desist. Don't expect them to stop. Don't expect some of them to learn a lesson. But rather what you need to do is you have to learn the lesson of standing firm, standing strong, and having that type of restraint and constraint that is necessary in order to face this type of evil. Some mufassirun are of the opinion, Al-Qurtubi and others, that this hatta, as we've seen before as well, hatta, this hatta is ibtida'iyya. It starts a new sentence. And it kind of means that when. It just means when. It starts a new sentence. And of course, to finally kind of conclude this issue, which one is it? Is it continuing on from the previous one, or is it starting a new thought? It's both. And again, this is the kalam, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it speaks at many, many different levels. So, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمْ الْمَوْتِ, that when death comes to any one of them, قَالَ رَبِّ رُجِعُونَ, that person says, oh my Lord, my Master, رَبِّ إِرْجِعُونِ, إِرْجِعُونِ, return me back, return me back. And of course, this means that return me back to the life of the world. So there's a few things to also figure out exactly about this. First and foremost, who is this talking about? حتى إذا جاء أحدهم. When any one of them, death comes to any one of them, then they will say, oh my Lord, my master, return me back. Who is this exactly talking about, believers or disbelievers? Right? The context seems that it's talking more so about disbelievers, and that would be accurate. There are many, many different places in the Qur'an where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'll be sharing a long list of ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this similar type of message. And so the context makes it pretty obvious that it's talking about the disbeliever. And there are some narrations I'll share as well. However, there's also the opinion, the Mufassirun have also mentioned, that even Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, Bahaq, who is one of the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas, a great Mufassir of the Qur'an from the Tabi'un, he says, كنت جالسا عند ابن عباس, that I was sitting with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, فقال من لم يترك ولم يحج. That whosoever, in another narration it also mentions giving zakat, he who does not give charity gives zakat, that is mandatory, and he who did not go for hajj, even though it was mandatory on him or her, سَأَلَ الرُّجَعَةَ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ, that person will ask and request to be returned back to the life of the world and to be given another opportunity when death will come to that person. فَقَالَ وَاحِدٌ إِنَّمَا يَسْأَلُ ذَلِكَ الْكُفَّارِ, that the ones who will ask that question, aren't they disbelievers? Like when I read the ayah, I was under the impression, somebody asked Abdullah ibn Abbas, sounds to me like it's talking about the kuffar, the disbelievers. فَقَالَ إِبْنُ عَبَّاسِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَلَىٰ عَنْهُمَا, that Abdullah ibn Abbas responded, أَنَا أَقْرَأُ عَلَيْكَ بِهِ قُرْآنًا, let me recite something from the Qur'an to you. And he recited Surah Al-Munafiqun, Surah number 63, Ayah 10, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ فَيَقُولْ رَبِّ لَوْ لَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Very interesting. Surah Al-Munafiqun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and spend from that which we have provided you before أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, before death comes to any one of you. Now of course the reader of the Qur'an is the believer. Before death comes to any one of you, spend from that which we have provided to you, Allah says. فَيَقُولُ, because at that time, that person will say, رَبِّي, my Lord, my Master, لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ, if you could just give me a little bit of a delay, if you could just grant me a little bit more time, فَأَصَدَّقَ, so I can give some more charity. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, and I will not just be a Muslim, but I will be from amongst the righteous, those who excel in doing good deeds. And so, this is Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, not necessarily saying that this ayah is not talking about the disbelievers, because it is obviously from the context. But what he's saying is that these type of ayats, and this overall concept and this idea that the Qur'an delivers, of when death comes to somebody and they will want another opportunity, they'll want some more time, this is not exclusive to the disbelievers. But this type of regret and remorse, hasra, will also exist even amongst the Muslims. That at that moment and at that time, there will be a little bit of panic that I should have made more of the opportunity. I should have done a little bit more. I forgot to do this, I forgot to do that, I missed out on this, I missed out on that. That same sentiment, that same emotion and feeling will exist. And something very powerful that we can learn a lesson from. And another question that's also, or another issue that's discussed, is that when that person says, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ, oh my Lord, my Master, return me back, that when will a person say this? Majority of the Mufassirun have said that the person will say this when the angel of death comes to the person. When basically the lens, it kind of switches, where the hidden now becomes apparent, that is the moment when that person will beg and plead. And some have said that, no, this will happen when a person sees the fire of hell. But if you overall look at, again, the context of all these ayat, similar type of ayat, it seems to allude to the fact that this will be at the time when death arrives at that person. Now, very briefly, before we... So to now kind of talk about more so this idea of that regret and that remorse and that wanting of another opportunity, this is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Qur'an in many, many different places. So I'm going to go through and quote some of those other ayat to help us develop a full concept, a full understanding of this concept rather. In surah number 63, surah al-munafiqun, in ayah number 10 and ayahs 10 and 11, Allah says, as I just mentioned, wa anfiqu mimma razaqnakum min qabli an ya'ti ahadakum al-maut fayaqul rabbi lawla akhartani ila ajalin qareebin fa-asaddaqa wa akum min as-salihin wa lan yu'akhkhira Allahu nafsan idha ja'a ajaluha wallahu khabirun bima ta'malun. That spend from that which we have provided you, Allah says, before death comes to any one of you. And then that person says, my Lord, my Master, please just give me a little bit more time. Just a little bit more time. So that I may do some good and give some charity and be from amongst the righteous. And then Allah says that Allah will never give anyone a little bit of extra time. That deadline will not be extended for anyone when the time arrives. وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully informed all the time, always, and only Allah is fully informed of everything that that you do. In Surah Ibrahim, Surah 14, Ayah 44, Allah says, وَأَنذِرِ النَّاسَ, and warn the people, يَوْمَ يَأْتِيهِمُ الْعَذَابِ, of the day when the punishment will come to them. فَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, and those who have done wrong, they will say, رَبَّنَا أَخِّرْنَا إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. Our Lord, our Master, give us just a little bit more time. نُجِبْ دَعْوَتَكَ وَنَتَّبِعِ الرُّسُلِ. We will now answer your call, and we will follow the messengers. أَوَلَمْ تَكُونُوا أَقْسَمْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ زَوَالٍ. That did, aren't you, and the response is, aren't you the same people that used to swear that your life will never end? And that this opportunity and your situation will never cease, your situation will never end? Aren't you the same people? In Surah Al-A'raf, in ayah number 53, Allah says, يَوْمَ يَأْتِي تَأْوِيلُهُ. That the day that, you know, the decision is made for somebody, يَقُولُ الَّذِينَ نَسُوهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ, the people who had forgotten that that day was coming, they will say at that time, قَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُ رَبِّنَا بِالْحَقِّ, our messengers came to us with the truth. فَهَلْ لَنَا مِنْ شُفَعَاءَ, is there anyone that can vouch on our behalf? فَيَشْفَعُوا لَنَا, they will vouch for us. أَوْ نُرَدُّ, or maybe we can just be given one more chance. فَنَعْمَلْ غَيْرَ الَّذِي كُنَّا نَعْمَلْ, and we'll do, you know, other than how we behaved and conducted ourselves. We will conduct ourselves differently this time around. In Surah Al-Sajda, Ayah 12, Allah says, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. That you will see, if you could only just see the believer, the criminals, excuse me, if you could only just see the criminals, when their heads will be lowered in front of their Lord, their Master Allah, and they will say, رَبَّنَا, our Lord, our Master, أَبَصَرْنَا, we've seen, وَسَمِعْنَا, we've heard, فَرْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ. Now give us one more chance to do right, we believe. We believe now. We accept. In Surah Al-An'am, ayahs 27 and 28, Allah says, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ. If you could just only see when they will be made to stand at the edge of the fire of hell. فَقَالُوا, and they will say, يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ. I wish, just we wish we could just be given one more chance, be given another opportunity. وَلَا نُكَذِّبُ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا. And this time around, we would not reject and false, we would not call false the signs of our Lord and Master Allah. وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and we will be from amongst the believers. بَلْ بَدَى لَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُخْفُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. But they at some level maybe realize this, and now it has become obvious to them. وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. And Allah says if they were given another chance, because at some level they knew that all along, but they chose not to act accordingly to what they felt, what their gut was telling them, what we call, you know, in this particular context, it's the fitrah. That fitrah that they had buried, what it was clawing and scratching, trying to get out, but they rejected it. So if they were given another chance, they would end up doing the same thing again. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ, they're just a bunch of liars. In Surah Ash-Shura, Surah 42, Ayah 44, Allah says, وَتَرَى الظَّالِمِينَ لَمَّا رَأُوا الْعَذَابَ يَقُولُونَ هَلْ إِلَى مَرَدٍ مِّن سَبِيلٍ. You will see those who did wrong, when they see the punishment, when they're face to face with it, they'll say, if only there was some way out of this situation. In Surah Ghafir, Ayah 11, Allah tells us, قَالُوا, they will say, Rabbana, our Lord, our Master, amatna thnatayn. We were lifeless twice. You put us in a state of lifelessness twice. Wa ahyaytana thnatayn. And you gave us life twice. فَاَعْتَرَفْنَا بِذُنُوبِنَا. We admit we were wrong. فَهَلِلَا خُرُوجٌ مِّن سَبِيلٍ. Is there anything we can work out? In Surah Fatir, Surah number 35, Ayah 37, وَهُمْ يَسْتَرِخُونَ فِيهَا. They will scream and yell like wild animals in the fire of hell. And they will say, رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي كُنَّا نَعْمَلْ. Our Lord, our Master, take us out. We will do good, not the way we did in the life before. أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ فَذُوقُوا فَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ نَصِيرٍ. Allah will say, didn't we give you an opportunity? Didn't we send you people to tell you exactly what you're saying right now? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, فَذُوقُوا. Now this is your fate. Deal with it. فَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ نَصِيرٍ. There is no help for you today. In Surah Saba, Ayahs 51 through 53, Allah says, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ فَزِعُوا فَلَا فَوْتَ وَأُخِذُوا مِنْ مَكَانٍ قَرِيبٍ وَقَالُوا آمَنَّا بِهِ وَأَنَّا لَهُمُ التَّنَاوُشُ مِنْ مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ وَقَدَ كَفَرُوا بِهِ مِنْ قَبْلٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you could only see that when they are taken and there is no recourse, and they will say at that time that we believe, but at this point, they disbelieved when they had the opportunity. So there's nothing that can be done for them now. There's a narration that some of the Mufassirun mention as well, narrated by Ibn Jurayj. So it's a Mursal, he mentions this from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. إِذَا عَيَنَا الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ. That even the believer, the next layer that we were talking about that Abdullah bin Abbas was reminding us of, that we understand this is the fate of the disbeliever. But even for the believers, there is a very powerful lesson here. And this narration supports that. That إِذَا عَيَنَا الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ. When the believer will see the angels. قَالُوا نَرْجِعُكَ إِلَى دَارِ الدُّنْيَا. Should we return you back to the life of the world? And a true believer, one who lived his life or her life in the way that Allah had recommended, will say, إِلَى دَارِ الْهُمُومِ وَالْأَحْزَانِ. You want me to go back to the bills and the troubles and the headaches of the life of the world? Really? No. I'm not. I don't pay any more bills. I'm done. Right? I didn't even pay for this grave. I don't know who did this. Right? إِلَى دَارِ الْهُمُومِ وَالْأَحْزَانِ. Done. No. I don't want all that trouble again, all that headache. Why would I want that? فَيَقُولْ بَلْ قَدِّمُونِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Take me to Allah. Take me to Allah. وَأَمَّا الْكَافِرِ. But as for the disbeliever, فَيَقُولُونَ لَهُ نَرْجِعُكْ. When the angels say, would you like another opportunity? He will say, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. One more chance. Give me one more opportunity. So, the last thing I wanted to kind of mention before we go forward to the next ayah, which is kind of like a tatimma, it concludes basically what they're saying. Before we go forward there's one little grammatical or linguistic nuance that is actually quite fascinating. And that is, when they are talking, when they're saying this, قَالَ, that person will say, رَبِّي, my Lord, my Master, irji'uni. The ni of course means what? Me. Irji'u, right? It's the command form, right? Irji', right? It's a command form. Irji'u. So what is irji'u? Is it singular or plural? It's plural. Who are they talking to? Who are they talking to? To Allah, Rabbi, my Lord, my Master. Right? Because they accept now. They're talking to Allah, and they use the command form for the plural. How do we make sense of that? Right? They're talking to Allah, but they're using the plural in the command form. Irji'ni, return me, O Allah, the singular, that makes sense. Irji'uni, they're using the plural. Some Mufassirun have delved into this and said that, well, because They're actually speaking to the angels, to the malaika as well. However, that still doesn't explain that they start off by saying, Rabbi, my Lord, my Master. They're addressing Allah, they're talking to Allah. And so then they say, well, that's kind of like they're of course talking to Allah and the angels. Right? Or they're also kind of saying Rabbi almost like as an oath. But there's a level of takalluf, what they call. There's a level of kind of a stretch or a little bit of difficulty in kind of reconciling it in this manner. The true understanding of why they're using the plural form is exactly why Allah uses the plural form when He talks about Himself. نَحْنُ, right? إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, right? Allah speaks about Himself in the plural. What do we say? Why does Allah speak about Himself in the plural form? What is that called? The royal plural. The majestic we, right? It's the royal plural. And it shows power and authority and respect and grandeur. So similarly, it is an established uslub. It is an established style in the Arabic language that when you address someone, especially if you're addressing someone greater than you, for instance, amongst people, if you're addressing someone older than you, if you're addressing someone who is an authority to you, then it is an established uslub and style, even in ancient Arabic, that you do so in the plural form, that you address them in the plural form. I still remember I was sitting in class, and one of our teachers that we had, so the medium of instruction was Arabic, and so one of the teachers who was teaching us, he asked me a question, and he asked me a question on one day, I had answered the question, so the following day, he kind of asked me the question again, and he said that, what did you say about this? What was your answer to this? Kind of like testing me again. So he asked me the question, he said, what did you say about this? Right? And so to respond in Arabic, because I was still, a noob, basically, right? So I was still finding my way around the language. I knew the grammar, but I didn't know the style and the usloob yet. So I said, قُلْتُ لَكَ بِالْأَمْسِ. And he goes, ah, قُلْتُ لَكَ, right? And so then he kind of switched over into another language, and he was kind of like, do I look like your friend? قُلْتُ لَكَ, لَكَ, right? He said, and then he taught me, he said that when you speak to somebody older than you, and you're trying to show respect, he said, you say, قُلْتُ لَكُمْ. قُلْتُ لَكُمْ. I said, now normally if we literally translate that, I said to all of you, or correctly, I said to y'all, right? So, I said to all of you, but it sounds like it's plural, like that seems either wrong or unnecessary. But it is an established style and a sloob of the Arabic language that when you address an elder, you address someone in a position of authority, you address, even if it's one person, you address them with the plural. You address them, right? So when you are asking, so if you're asking your friend, how are you doing? كيف حالك? But if you are asking that same question to an elder, it's actually, if somebody's familiar with classical Arabic, that it would be considered kind of rude, if you will, and lacking in adab, in etiquette, if you were to say كيف حالك to an elder, but you say كيف حالكم, كيف أنتم, كيف أموركم, right? Even though you're talking to one person, right? But it's adab, it's respect, all right? So that's the real answer here, and there's plenty of shawahid, what we call in linguistic or in the Arabic language, in the study of the language, there's lots of shawahid from shi'r, from poetry, ancient Arabic poetry, pre-Islamic Arabic poetry that demonstrates the same style as well. So, رَبِّ رَجِعُونَ, oh my Lord, my Master, return me back. So we are talking, this person is talking to Allah, but even though they're talking to Allah, they're using the plural as a sign of respect because they're basically asking for a favor. The next ayah, ayah number 100, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now tells us that they continue on. رَبِّ رَجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ A translator says, so as to make amends for the things I neglected. Return me back, so as to make amends for the things I neglected. The response is never. This will not go beyond that person's words. A barrier stands behind such people until the very day that they are resurrected. Another translator says, so that I may do righteousness and believe in what I previously left behind. The answer will be no, indeed. Never shall this be. It is but an empty word that one utters. It is but an empty word that one utters, for behind them is a barrier that has sealed them off from the world until the day they are raised up to life in the hereafter. So la'alla in the Arabic language, and y'all, can you remind me, where did we come across la'alla? That's it. I'm done. All right. So, but it's one of the harf of nasr. Very good, right? So, la'alla in terms of meaning, though, right? In terms of meaning, in the Arabic language, it's explained la'alla litaraji. La'alla litaraji wa tawakku'i. Right? La'alla litaraji wa tawakku'i. It shows desire and hope. La'alli. Please, please, give me this. Please let me have this. So that I'm able to do what? أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا So that I will do good. فِيمَا تَرَكْتُ In that which I left. In that which I left. It sounds kind of strange when you translate it like this. But again, the meaning of تَرَكْتُ, تَرَكَ, is not just what one has left, but also what one has neglected. Right? The meaning of leaving something is neglecting something, forgetting about something, and that which I neglected. Kalla. Now this is the response. Kalla. Kalla means never. And we're going to study this, inshallah, this week, amongst the different types of negation. That kalla means never. Absolute. It is the most emphatic way to request someone's reject. Kalla. Absolutely no. Never. إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا So now a little explanation of this, إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا What does that exactly mean? If we again literally break it down word for word and try to translate it, it means that this is kalima, the word kalima in the Arabic language, it is the combination of words. Kalima, literally in the Arabic language, means a combination of words. Right? تَرْكِيبُ الْكَلَامِ Right, so it's a combination of different thought. It's like a thought that is being presented. إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ This is an idea. This is a thought. هُوَ قَائِلُهَا That he is saying it. Now, what does that exactly mean? Like, how do we better understand, right? That this is an idea or this is something that he is saying, that this person is saying. So, the scholars have explained this in a couple of different ways. Number one is that إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا This is an idea, this is a thought, that it does not go beyond the fact that this person is saying it. That is the only validity of it. That is the only significance of it, that this person has said it. And so this is a way to dismiss what somebody says. When someone says something, it's a way to dismiss it, that this is just something somebody said. Right? That's all it is. So if you bring me like something somebody might have said, an idea, a thought somebody brings, and it's incorrect, and you present it to me, my response would be that this is just something he said, or something she said, this is just something somebody said. There's no reality to it. So it's a way to dismiss an idea. There's no reality to it, other than the fact it came out of that person's mouth. That's it. That's as far as it goes. The second way that the scholars have also explained this is that this is quite frightening. It's quite scary. That notice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ قَالَهَا That this is just an idea that person said. But Allah says, هُوَ قَائِلُهَا That he will say, is saying, said this, is saying it, and will say it. In the noun form, in the nominal form. And so the meaning of that is that this person, Rabbirji'un, لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ, that's crying. That this person will continue to cry and yell and scream. وَهُمْ يَسْتَرِخُونَ فِيهَا, like we talked about. They'll continue to yell and scream and cry this for all of eternity in the fire of hell. Just, it's almost like the level of insanity that this person will suffer from. They'll just keep yelling and screaming and crying this over and over and over and over again. That's the second meaning that this gives us. So the first one applies, that there's no reality to this other than the fact that this person said it. That's as far as it goes. Number two, and that person will continue to scream and yell and cry this. And number three, what's also very interesting is that it doesn't talk about, you know, it's just saying that that person says it without any type of, you know, interaction or response being given for it. So it's also a way of saying, when you say, إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا, this is just something somebody is saying. Like if somebody is saying something and I'm not paying attention to it, and a third person comes up and says, you know, that person is saying something. And I say, yeah, he's always saying that. Right? That's a way of basically saying, nobody cares. إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also a level of this, is that Allah is saying, nobody cares. Nobody cares what this person has to say now. That person could have uttered a couple of words, أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. And those words, لا إله إلا الله, حديث البطاقة, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where it says, one little slip of paper, and we're going to talk about this tomorrow when we talk about the scale of deeds, that one little piece of paper with just the words La ilaha illallah written on it would outweigh the heaven, seven heavens and seven earths, would outweigh everything in existence, all of creation, the entire universe. It is worth more, it weighs more, and it is more valuable than everything in existence. That's what they could... You could have said those four words. But now you can sit here and scream and cry for all of eternity. Now it holds no value. إِخْسَأُوا فِيهَا. We're going to read this where they'll be told, now just be quiet and stay there. وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. Don't talk. You can continue talking. But just know that it won't be listened to. It won't be listened to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ, we again studied the meaning of the word wara. Remind me, where did we study the meaning of the word wara? Special mudaf, mashallah, very nice. Very good. Alright. So وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ, and we talked about it means beyond, right? But we've seen this word wara before here in Surah Al-Mu'minun as well. And we kind of talked about that it means beyond. And some places in the Qur'an it means something that is yet to come. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ عَذَابٌ غَلِيظٌ, right? وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ جَهَنَّمٌ, مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ جَهَنَّمٌ, right? So it means something that is yet to come. So Allah says, وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ, that beyond them is barzakhun. Now what does the word barzakh exactly mean? The word barzakh, and this is a very interesting word, I'm going to go ahead and mention something here that should connect to something we've talked about extensively in class. The word barzakh is one of those few words, a small group of words in the Arabic language that has four root letters. Right? That should set off all types of alarms in your head. Your life should not make sense to you anymore at all. Right? Because everything we've studied is based off of how many root letters? Three. Three, right? So here you go. There's very few. The reason why we didn't spend a lot of time on it, but you'll just be made aware of it, is because in the Quran there's literally a handful of words that have four root letters. So to sit there and study it extensively for hours and hours, it's not necessary right now. It's a further step that you will take, inshallah. But barzakh is four root letters, and it's a word that literally in the language, Alama Jawhari and others, they say that it means الحاجز بين شيئين الفارق بين شيئين, that something that separates ما بين كل شيئين, anything that is between two things, a separator or divider between two things, all right? And that's how it's used within the Quran as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانِ in Surah Ar-Rahman, when Allah, مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ, where the two seas they meet, the two oceans, the two bodies of water where they meet, بَيْنَهُمَا between them, بَرْزَخٌ, there is something that separates them, right? لَا يَبْغِيَانِ, so that they're not able to cross over into each other. Right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخًا وَحِجَرًا مَحْجُورًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed between, or that He placed between them, بَرْزَخًا, right, that He placed between them a barrier, a boundary. So it refers to something that separates two things. And from that, what we have is in this, in the Islamic discourse, in Islamic terminology, if you will, in the Qur'an, and especially many places within the Sunnah, and in just in general Islamic discourse and terminology, the word barzakh refers to the life in the grave. That there is the life of this world that is called hayatul dunya. And there is hayatul akhirah, which is the life of the hereafter, and that's everything that happens after death. But within hayatul akhirah, you have the specific marker of yawmul qiyamah. Yawmul Ba'ath, Yawmul Qiyamah. You have the day of resurrection, right? The day that everyone will be brought forth again. The period that passes from the death of a person, right? From the departure of the soul from the body, till the resurrection, and everything that transpires in between that is called Barzakh. Right? That's called Barzakh. And that's what separates the two lives that we will experience, the life of this world and the life in the hereafter, which is the day of resurrection, the day of judgment, when everyone will be revived. The period in between that is called the barzakh. وَمِن وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. And that's another thing that teaches us what it's talking about. And beyond them is the barrier, right? That period of lifelessness, if you will, the life in the grave and beyond that even, right, the life in the grave, إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, till the day that they will all be brought forth and resurrected and brought back to life. So basically, their request is rejected. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. Nobody cares what they have to say now. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ. Tell them to stay resigned to the fact that whatever is transpiring now in this period, within the grave. And of course there are numerous ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that talk about the life in the grave and what will transpire there. That the grave, when a good person goes to their grave, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that it is a garden from the gardens of paradise, and it expands as far as the eye can see. That a person is told to rest and relax, and a window of paradise is opened up into their grave so that they can go to sleep and rest with the cool breezes of paradise comforting them. That the Qur'an comes and guards them against any type of torment or punishment. But when a bad person goes to their grave, when a good person goes to the grave welcomes them. But when a bad person goes to their grave, the grave threatens them. And it constricts upon them. The Prophet ﷺ demonstrated tashbik al-asabi'a, where he interlocked his fingers, that the grave closes in on them, so much so that the ribs interlock with the sides, with the other side of the ribs. And punishment is unleashed upon them. And they will suffer that torment till the day of judgment, till the day of resurrection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. In ayah number 101, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. A translator says, on that day when the trumpet is blown, the ties between them will be as nothing, and they will not ask about each other. Another translator says, and then when the trumpet of the hour of doom is blown, no ties of kinship between them shall avail on that day, nor shall they care then to ask about one, nor shall they care then to ask about one another. So فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, and then نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ. Now let me explain this very briefly, some of the key parts of the language. نُفِخَ is the, again, can you hear something? نُفِخَ, passive, very good, right? It's passive, right? So نَفَخَ means to blow air into something, to blow air into something. نُفِخَ is for something to be inflated, or for air to be blown into something. For something to be inflated or for air to be blown into something. Fisur, when air is blown into a sur. Now what does the word a sur refer to? Generally speaking, majority of the scholars and the mufassirun are of the opinion that the sur here refers to the like a horn. Refers to a horn, like a trumpet or a horn that is blown. And this horn basically is going to be the way by means of which the Qur'an talks about multiple instances where the horn will be blown, right? That first the horn will be sounded, the horn will be blown, and what that will do is that will cause everyone, all of creation in existence to cease to exist. All of the creation will cease to exist. And that's what the Qur'an talks about, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. When the sun, you know, will boil over and fall, when the stars will come crashing down, when the earth will totally be destroyed, when the oceans will boil over, when all the creation of God will be destroyed, right? That's talking about that moment, asur. Number two is that then that horn will be sounded again, and what that will do at that time is that will bring forth the creation for resurrection. That will bring forth the creation for resurrection. Those are the two moments when the horn will be sounded. And so the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ tells us, and it teaches us, that there is an angel that Allah has created, Israfil, we are told is the name of the angel in the narrations, who will blow into this horn, who will sound this horn. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this angel so huge, and so remarkable, and so just mind-blowing, that by sounding of this horn, which will be accompanied by the command of Allah, that is the command of Allah, right? That Allah will command that angel to sound the horn, that will first, again the first time around, it will cause all of creation to cease to exist, and the second time it will bring the creation back. Right? So that's how powerful and miraculous it'll be. And it's of course all by the command of Allah. So that's the normative and the general majority explanation of what this is making reference to. And in this particular interpretation, which is, again, like I said, the normative and the majority interpretation of this, is that something very interesting about the Qur'anic language. Allah says, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ. In every single place Allah talks about this in the Qur'an, He says it in the same way in the passive form. When the horn will be sounded. When the horn will be sounded, the horn will be blown into. And that's very fascinating. Why not say it in the active form? When the angel will sound the horn. And this is part of, again, the uslub, the al-uslub al-ta'alimi. This is part of the educational style that we find within the Qur'an. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is educating us at the basic level, that first and foremost, grasp your basics. Right? Grasp the basics. And know that this moment is coming. Right now, don't occupy and don't busy yourself, because especially because the Qur'an is for the purpose of tadabbur and for reflection and contemplation and pondering, that right now don't obsess over who's blowing the horn and how is he blowing the horn and how big is he and how small is he and what does the horn look like and how will he blow it, how long will he blow it for, will he take a breath in between, will he not take a breath in between, right? What will it sound like, what will it not sound like, right? You can kind of see. And you know, sadly enough, you will actually find these conversations in existence, right? Don't go look for them. Please don't go look for them. But now you're all going to look for it, right? But this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't even address it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us here, focus on what's important. That moment's coming where everything that you know will end. And then everything will be brought back to answer and to be held accountable. So worry about it. So that there are two things you got to worry about. You will not be asked about, well, what did you know about Israfil and what did you not know about Israfil? Right? But what you do have to worry about is, number one, you will be held accountable. And number two, you don't have forever. You don't have forever. So you have a very limited opportunity to do what you got to do. And then you'll be held accountable for it. So make now get to work. Don't worry about the details. Right? And this is part of that usloob and that style within the Qur'an that is so remarkable. And kind of a like embedded as a reminder, as an opportunity, so that when I am reading this ayah, when I'm sitting here today reading this ayah, when you are reading this ayah or listening to the ayah, and you say, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, and it sets off something in your head that, it's said in the passive form. It's almost kind of just alluding to it. Look, the horn will be sounded. That actually, that is even something you should sit and reflect upon, that at what level in my life, especially in my engagement with my religion, how much of my engagement with my deen and my interaction with my religion is necessary and important, and how much of it is just the outcome or the consequence of just my own curiosity or fascination, right? That do I approach knowledge in terms of that which benefits me and changes me, or do I approach knowledge with the mindset of trivia? Do I have a trivia type mindset or what? What's exactly my approach? That's something this is an opportunity. And every single time you read this phrase, نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, in the Qur'an, is to remind us that am I more busy when it comes to knowledge and the understanding of my deen, am I more busy with trivia and cool facts, right? Or am I more concerned with the salvation of my soul? With what will make me a better person, what will bring me closer to Allah. What am I more concerned with? What am I more preoccupied and busy with? And that's a very powerful reminder here. So فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, and I wanted to explain one last thing, speaking of kind of trivia, but it's a tafsir that is mentioned. There are some mufassirun. Razi mentions that Al-Hasan al-Basri rahmahullah ta'ala did have an alternative interpretation of this particular ayah, but it is a minority opinion, where he read it as فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي السُّوَرِ, a suwar. Suwar is a plural of the word surah, which refers to kind of like the physical form of a human being. And so نُفِخَ فِي السُّورَةِ, نُفِخَ فِي السُّوَرِ, basically is an expression in the Arabic language for bringing someone to life. Kind of like inflating something. Right? So he said, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, when everyone is brought back to life. And what we ultimately understand is it's not really something to stress over, because as a consequence, both are saying the same thing. But however, I do want to emphasize, because there are numerous ahadith about this as well, that the majority understanding, what seems to be a more concrete understanding of this, is فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ, when the horn is sounded. فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ, Allah says, then there will be no relationships between them. Ansab. Ansab is the plural of the word nasab. Nasab refers to like relationships of blood, kinship, relationships of blood. Then there will be no relationships. And the reason, there won't be relationships of blood, but other types of relationships will be there? Like adopted relationships or foster relationships? No. See, that's silliness. Because when something that is the basis and that is actually more, more common is negated, then that also negates everything else that falls under that general umbrella. And that's how speech is constructed. فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ, says, even if blood relations don't exist, then forget about all other types of relationships. فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ, then there will be no relationships between them. يَوْمَ إِذٍ, on that day. وَلَا يَتَسَأَلُونَ, nor will they ask each other. Now what does that exactly mean, that no relationships will exist amongst one another? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this some other place in the Qur'an. In Surah Al-Ma'arij, in Surah number 70, ayah 10, Allah says, وَلَا يَسْأَلُ حَمِيمٌ حَمِيمًا, that a best friend, right? Even the word like best friendy, that doesn't fully explain what Hamim is. Hamim is like bestest friend, right? BFF, right? That even your bestest friend in the whole world won't ask how the other one is doing. The Prophet ﷺ talks about this, that every person will come forth on that day, nafsi, nafsi. What will happen to me? What will happen to me? And they'll be dodging each other. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ In Surah Abbas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ That the day that a person will run from their own brother. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ From their mother and father. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ That even from their wives, their spouses, and their own children. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ On that day, everybody will just be worried about themselves. Everyone will be worried about what will happen to them. فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ However, there is a question that is presented here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does say in another place in the Qur'an, يَتَعَارَفُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ That some they will recognize one another. So if there's no relationships, then how will they still recognize each other? So the Mufassirun and the Prophet ﷺ, you know, the Mufassirun explained this, that what this means is not that relationships will like just disappear. It's not like relationships will retroactively be wiped out. That a mother will not recognize her child and the child will not recognize the parent. That's not saying that. That they won't recognize. يَتَعَرَفُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ They'll recognize each other. فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ means that they will not care about the relationship at that time. Right? We see this in this world as well, unfortunately. A lot of people have relationships, but they don't care about the relationship. And that's what it's basically saying. That they'll have bigger fish to fry. And so they won't be concerned and preoccupied with these relationships and formalities. They'll have bigger things to worry about. وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ Nor will they ask one another. Now there is a little objection that, or a question that is presented, and actually some of the Orientalist critique of the Qur'an, where they try to point out certain errors or contradictions within the Qur'an, they point out here that in other places within the Qur'an, like in Surah As-Saffat, Allah says, وَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَسَأَلُونَ That some will turn to others and they will ask each other questions. That in Surah Al-Muddathir, فِي جَنَّاتٍ يَتَسَأَلُونَ That in paradise they will be asking each other questions. Right? That but Qur'an is saying in one place they won't ask each other questions, in other places saying they will ask each other questions. Well, what we simply point out is context. This is speaking about on the day of resurrection, while people are still running around in the panic, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which I will mention in the coming sessions, where the Prophet ﷺ says that before the accounting and the reckoning begins, the next ayat that we're going to study talks about the weighing of the deeds. The sequence of the ayat tells you this is before the reckoning begins. And the Prophet ﷺ says that the torment and the horror and the panic that people will feel at that moment will just be so bewildering, will be so overwhelming and intimidating that people will just be running around like wild animals. It'll just be the most frightening experience that you can't even imagine. It is the most frightening experience that we can't even imagine. And so at that moment, they won't ask each other any questions. No. Everyone's just trying to figure things out. And every single place in the Qur'an where it talks about them asking each other questions in life of the hereafter, Surah As-Saffat is talking about people in paradise. That people in paradise are sitting and hanging out, sitting on their mutaki'een ala rafrafin khudrin wa abaqariin hisan. They're sitting on their luxurious couches, drinking the pure wine of paradise and eating the food of paradise. And now they're having a conversation. Well, of course. Because it's the good times. So they're having a conversation with each other now. In Surah Al-Muddathir, fi jannatin yatasa'alun. In paradise, they're having a conversation with each other. So it was actually a lack of context and almost trying to create a contradiction where there is no contradiction. And that's where they brought about this question. But the context itself just completely dismisses anything any type of even notion of a contradiction, that it's actually just plain old silly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَأَلُونَ, that then they won't care about any type of relationships on that day, nor will they worry about each other or ask each other how they're doing or ask each other any type of questions, but they will be completely preoccupied with themselves. And inshallah, with that, we'll go ahead and conclude. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to practice everything that's been said and heard. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.